Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Ayo's house
in the middle of our street.
Ayo's house.
Isle's House, episode 45, Ethan and Rocco with you today. No Jack, Jackie Florida, Jackie retired. I don't know, Jackie Sunshine,
Jackie Hollywood.
We miss Jack. He'll be back next week, but them's the breaks. So let's take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Follow Jack at Isle's Den. Follow the podcast at Isle's House. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts, most notably iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. The other housekeeping, let's see if I get this right. Bam! YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you. If you're not and you want to support us even more, go find us on YouTube and hit that subscribe button. And if you are watching us on YouTube, some visual housekeeping for you. That QR code in the top corner. Links to the store. Check out our store, our merch store, if you want to support us. I'm rocking the Casa hat. Rocco's rocking the Casa hat. We sold some You Don't Trade a Player Like Emile Heineman shirts over the last week, which was nice to see. So thank you for the support if you are purchasing some of our merch. Down below, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see the ticker, patreon.com/Isle's House, the greatest online Islanders community. You don't have to deal with the total lunatics on Twitter. You get to deal with the lunatics in our Discord, which you get access to when you subscribe to the Patreon. $25 gets you the insider tier for the latest breaking news. We've just been red hot between the Islanders injuries and the MLB scoops that are in there. Some giant stuff. It's just been an insane month so far leading up to Christmas. And I feel like I'm forgetting one thing. Oh, Rust and Gold. The fine folks at Rust and Gold, check them out. They're in Huntington. If you want a great bar and restaurant to go watch an Islanders game or college football or NFL or any other sport, check out the fine folks at Rust and Gold. New menu, great drinks, great atmosphere. Check them out. All right. So no Jackie recaps today. Rocco, why don't we do something a little bit different? How about I recap my morning today? And we can do a little personal before we do a little Islanders.
How interested everyone's going to be, but go ahead.
I think you'd be surprised. People in the Discord already know this. So woke up this morning, my Ring doorbell, not connected. Not good. Think it's maybe an internet connection. Nope. It's wired into the house and there's no power. I already know what the issue is. There's a transformer that is right above my desk in the ceiling. There's a little access to it. Call my electrician. He says, no problem. I'll be here at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, nothing, 9:30, nothing. I have to catch a 10:35 train to Manhattan. They finally show up, 9:45. They go, they start fixing it. It's a guy and an apprentice. The big boss tells the apprentice, hey, like this is pretty simple. You know how to do it. Yeah, go ahead, fix it. I got about 3/4 of a treadmill sitting behind me right now that the big boss helped me assemble while the apprentice was fixing the box. Great. He's got all the power tools. He's got everything helping me assemble this thing. As the apprentice is finishing up, big boss says, hey, everything looking good? He goes, yeah, except I was using my phone as a flashlight and it fell into the wall. My train is in 10 minutes. This kid has no phone. And you can see the flashlight when you look down into the wall. This thing fell from the top of the ceiling all the way behind the wall. I miss my train. These guys have to cut a hole in the bottom of my wall to get this kid's phone. I miss my train, catch the next train. The next train's delayed 30 minutes, finally make it into the city. But just a ridiculous situation to start my morning. Just a phone in my wall. Wow. It's like in the office when they hid Andy's phone in the ceiling.
That's right, yeah. I mean, some bad luck. Bumps in the road when you're the apprentice. You know what I mean? You're not going to get that smooth sailing like you're the big boss right away. So no. You got to go through those.
Big boss was not happy. So yeah, now sure. Right behind my desk, I got this like, yeah, right.
Listen, I know what it's like to have people at the
apprentice for you.
Yeah. You know, an apprentice or a coworker or whatever you want to call it. And you kind of have them doing something for you. And then you walk over 5 minutes later and it's just like, well, now I have double the work because we just messed it up and whatever else. So I think that's Isle's home repair for the day. Sorry you had to go.
They cut open my wall, missed my train, get on the train. Train's 20 minutes late. And there's just like some random woman sobbing on the train car.
Did you ask why?
No.
What a she's a Montreal fan. Can't believe they traded Heinemann.
Maybe. All right. Anyway, that's Isle's home improvement. What's first up on the docket?
No Jackie recap, so we'll run through it quick. Canucks game, stinker, terrible. They were on to Buffalo, found a way to steal.
Do you think that was the worst game they played this season? I think
Vancouver. Yeah. It was awful. Like it was actually a hard watch. I don't think we've had many, even in bad losses, there haven't been many hard watches this year. Like that Vancouver game was ugly. And then we go into Buffalo. We see our guy Dan the Man behind the bench, behind Patrick Waugh on every time they show the bench, you see Dan the Man, honestly. Caught him texting once, called him out, said lock in. Great guy. Respect the travel. I'm sure he got some good wings up there. But that Buffalo game, honestly, I didn't think they played well against Buffalo either.
They didn't.
They found a way to get a point, which great. You got a point. Buffalo's pretty hot right now.
So is Vancouver, by the way.
So is Vancouver.
As bad as they played, I mean, their Ewing effect in full display right now.
But that's going to – the bottom's going to come out there soon.
Here's a question. Wait. Is it Ewing effect for Quinn or EP?
Ooh, because they're both out, right? EP's been out?
EP's been out.
Maybe it's Ewing and Starks or however you want to put it. Like they just,
sure.
They don't – I don't know. I think it's that little bump of like now we're all doubted because we don't have Quinn and all they talk about is Quinn and now we're supposed to suck without Quinn and you got guys who improve themselves. So you get that little bump. I think the bottom's going to come out. Buffalo's been hot too. We caught a hot Buffalo team, got them to shoot out, couldn't find a way. And then today at home against New Jersey, kind of, is it fair to say like a hard checking game, as they'd say on the radio on my way over from work, a hard checking game that's just kind of more like a boring game. And then of all people, minute and a half left, Adam Pellick, are you kidding me?
I mean, mozzarella 1D.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you
know, our boy Data Dom was trying to pump his tires a bit to make Team Canada. I mean, is that somewhat realistic? Like, could he be their Slavin where it's just like we need this guy there to shut people down?
Yeah, bro, he got Chart Boy to tweet about it, and he's he's the best defensive defenseman all season.
I mean, he does deserve it. I'm not saying he's going to make it because they're so loaded, but he definitely – there's a case there. He's been dominant.
You won't find me disagreeing. I mean, this is the best we've seen him play since, I mean, probably ever, honestly. Trotz era Pellick is back, and honestly, he's kind of found a new level.
Eastern Conference Finals runs, I'd say this is kind of just right there with the level. He found a couple goals here and there. Those are more, I don't want to say luck, because tonight was just like a nice pinch and he makes the play. But I think what was just as impressive is at the very end of the game with like 8-9 seconds left, the Devils have the extra attacker, ties his men up behind the net, seals them, runs down the clock. It's just like vintage Adam Pellick after a not so vintage Adam Pellick play, joining the rush and scoring that goal in the game. So
yeah,
literally I did like a triple take when it's like Adam Pellick. And I'm like, no. They got that.
Simon almost buried his second of the game, which by the way, I think, our friend of the program, Fitz, just slid into my DMs, and he said, I'm going to read his message verbatim because I think we've unlocked a new bit. Goes, Simon Holmstrom has more goals than Jesper Bratt this year, if you want to have some fun with that.
Does he? Was Bratt hurt?
Yikes.
Was Bratt hurt for a little bit? Let me check Bratt's
team. Let's see.
That's pretty brutal.
Jesper Bratt stats. How many games played? 36. Yikes.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
he's got 29 points, but still.
The talk around the league right now is Toronto and breaking up Toronto, and they're never going to get over the hump. They let Marner go, whatever. Are the Devils that far off from that, where they have to kind of make a decision on one of these guys? Like, maybe not
right
away, but could you argue Bratt is similar to, like, what Nylander and or Matthews is for the Leafs right now, where you kind of got to be like...
Nah, I don't think he's at that level yet.
You don't think he's at that level yet? I mean...
No.
Something's got. I don't.
You got to get rid of Palat. You got to get rid of Dougie, and then.
But they're not going to. I don't know if they can't. They have to pay to get rid of Palat.
Yeah, but like in like long term picture, isn't Dougie up this year?
No.
Dougie, really?
No, he's under contract. They'd have to trade him.
Why did I think he was up this year?
His no move changed this year. That's what changed.
Got it. All right.
So he could block less teams, I think. But anyway, yeah. It's not Devil's House. But yeah,
stole words out of my mouth.
But yeah, fun game in the end tonight. It's always fun when you win, but you know, the Islanders just find a way. They keep finding a way. Every time you think they're out, they bring you back in.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting to say the least. I'm not going to say most people. You and I at least would agree that they haven't really played particularly well. I don't think that they're a great team, but for some reason, they just find ways to win these games. And honestly, you know, they kind of got hot at the right time. They got hot during the hardest portion of their schedule. They were healthy during the hardest portion of their schedule. And now, like, to close out the year, to start January, they've got the Rangers, the Blue Jackets, the Blackhawks, Utah, flailing Maple Leafs team. They've got the Devils again, then the Predators. And then it gets a bit more difficult. But, I mean, this is, you know, we say this every year, multiple times a season. But this is here we are. This is the most important stretch of the season. Like, just collecting as many points as you possibly can without Bo Horvat, who obviously a glaring hole, I think made worse by the fact that there have just been total black holes on this roster offensively. And I'm sure you have some opinions on that. I certainly do. You know, if you want to argue this, because I've been public about it, and I figure, why not just double down on my Pageau bet? Pageau has been atrocious.
He has been, but I think, I mean, the part that bothers me a little bit with Pageau is when he went down, they did say he re-aggravated an old injury, right? First of all, I hate that they made that public. Like, just say he's a little banged up. He's going to sit a few games.
That's the people's insider effect.
I don't think that was wise. But either way, I don't think that was wise to just come out and be like, yeah, he re-aggravated an old injury. Like, no. This is – at the end of the day, a pending UFA that you may end up dealing. We don't know how they're going to go about it. We've discussed how we feel they should, but it looks to be bothering him, I would say, because I thought he was good before the injury this season. Well, would you agree that he was playing well?
I'd say he's playing really well, but like, this is kind of where this is kind of where we both lose, right? Because you've been pounding the table, trade, like, absolutely, he's going to get a first. 100%. And I've been like, well, I'd be open to an extension because I think he's been really good for the Islanders, and they don't exactly have a super deep, like, center farm system going on. And if it's reasonable, okay, like, extend him. He's been playing so poorly recently that not only am I now thinking he might not get a first at the deadline, but I also don't want to extend him because he's been so bad.
Yeah, but it's – the thing is with Pageau and a player that's been in the league as long as him, I think whether fair or not, sometimes those deals get done based off pedigree and not what they are in the moment, if that makes sense. Like, Pageau's been around so long. He's been that 3C for us so long, playoff performer when we have made it. So I think he has enough juice that he would get a first. And this is a market where Philip Deneau, who has a stat line of zero goals.
Okay, but here's what you're contradicting yourself, because you're talking about a league based on reputation. He's an over half point per game, like six two, big guy. Deneau
that big?
I think he's like.
I don't think he's that big.
Who's the other trade that just went down?
That's
Marchment. But again, like, but so like. All right, Deneau is like
also a trade request. Like, there's a lot of factors coming in, and it's just that who's selling right now? Like, when you look throughout the league, who's a true seller?
Okay, but here's the problem. And I was arguing with this with Phil about this. Like, how would you determine this market right now? Because, like, I would argue that it's neither a buyer nor a seller's market. Like, it would be a seller's market if there was like one or two big names. Like, there's no one available that's like besides Panarin, I guess, but who, like, You got to assume jury's going to get desperate. Right, but it's a seller's market for all these bad people. Like, no,
that's
like
why the prices might get inflated because
I don't think so. Like Brock Nelson gets you a late first in like a year from now and a top prospect. That's a 2C 30 goal scorer, and you just see someone like Deneau, who again historically half point per game or better, he's a center. Marchment, who's also like half point per game or better, and I understand he's more of like a third line winger type player, but like 6'5", sandpaper, clogged the neutral zone, that type of player. Neither of them are going for firsts. Like, I guess kind of like the tiebreaker here is really going to be like who gives up what for Kiefer Sherwood. I think that whatever that deal is going to age like milk in the Sahara Desert. But like, I don't know how anyone could confidently say that someone like Pageau, who's playing as poorly as he is, despite the pedigree, like we understand how valuable he can be when he's playing well. But I just don't think like the market is too weird right now. Like there had like let's just say hypothetically, right? Let's just say Drury moves Panarin or Nashville moves O'Reilly and or, I mean, probably not now, maybe in the offseason or whatever, but like a Stamkos or a Forsberg. Like then I can see things getting a little bit nutty where the teams who miss out on like the top tier then get desperate and they're like, fine. Like you can have a first. Like we don't care. But if Deneau is getting a second – and Marchman's getting a second and a fourth or whatever these deals are, just like.
But the other side of it is too, is the say Stamkos and O'Reilly aren't available. Like, cause Nashville, I think Nashville's getting a little hot now and the West stinks. So it feels like some of those teams.
But I see that side too, but it's like.
But it's just if 20 teams are buying and only five are selling and one of the main guys on the selling team is a Pageau, the value could get crazy. I get it,
but again, like you get to a point like you, sure, but I'm just saying like, all right, you get to the point where you're at the deadline and there's nothing shiny to buy. Are teams like, all right, fine, you can have my 2028 first, or they just
depends,
you know,
on
they're team. Or they're not going to shop hungry and say, okay, like we'll just stick with what we got and see what happens.
For example, I think a team like pick a team.
By the way, we just launched right into Pageau trade talks after the Islanders won and are currently in a Metro playoff spot. So I do want to point out how preposterous that is, and we'll get back to more positive stuff in a minute.
What I was going to say is like you might have some of these teams like Carolina who are desperate to win and finally get over the hump, and he's the best guy out there, and he would fit them well. We've said that before.
Yeah.
You get a team like that, or you get a team like, I don't even know what their center depth is, but hypothetically a Tampa Bay who's right there and feels that maybe Florida isn't at 100% this year. We're going to go for it. So really depends on the situation.
Give me the Finn. Give me the Finn, Tampa.
Yeah, that would be nice. But it's, you know, we talk about it ad nauseum, but the realistic side of it is we're probably going to have to wait and see till February where we are, where the market is, how Pageau's playing. There's so many different factors that probably won't be answered for a bit now. So we could get on to the positives.
Yeah. Well, we say get onto the positives. The next thing on your rundown was the scoring drought.
Problem. I mean, since Horvat went down, it's been bleak to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, when the guy who's on pace for 40 goals or whatever it was, I got to get the calculator out, goes down, and thankfully he's skating and he'll be back soon, goes down, it's not going to be pretty. And you kind of hoped that at some point some of these other guys would step up. I have absolutely hated what I've been seeing from Maxim Shapanov. Holmstrom has got 6 points in his last 7 games, and yeah, I still find myself very frustrated with some of the opportunities that he's passing up on. Matt Barzal is turning me into a 65-year-old white man from Corum. Like, I watch this guy, and all I want to do is call WFAN and scream into the phone because – this is the last time I'll say it because I know I'm going to upset some of our listeners. Got not paid over $9 million in a flat cap era. I understand you're a playmaker. I understand that you drive play. You do all these good things, great things. I would never, ever criticize the skating ability, some of the playmaking ability. But when you are on a team that is devoid of scoring talent outside of like Emil Heinemann right now, take the puck to the fucking net. Yep. Take it to the dirty areas. Just crash the net. Cause chaos. Try to force a rebound. Like, someone will get there and finish a dirty goal, dirty opportunity. I'm so sick and tired of this. Enter the zone and spin towards the boards, and I'm going to turn the puck over five times, and no one's going to get open because most of the time I'm playing with a bunch of bozos. Like, you're paid to be the guy. At least try to be the guy. Go to the net, please. I'm begging you. And we saw it a couple times over the last three games, and it resulted in positive opportunities.
Right. Yeah, I'd like to see him do it more too, but I think you just realize with Horvat out, like, everyone moves up a rung, which is kind of the opposite of what we need on this team.
Yeah.
Not everyone can handle it. So obviously Barzal's kind of the same because he's neck and neck with Horvat to begin with. So his role, obviously there's more on his shoulders without Horvat, but his role is at the top to begin with. And then you have these other guys like a Duclair, like a Shabanov, like a Holmstrom, who you now say, all right, we're going to need you to pitch in a little bit here. And I mean, Holmstrom had the goal tonight, but let's be real. That was like an egregious giveaway by Markstrom.
Okay, but he caused that. Not the giveaway, but he got his stick on the puck in the defensive zone, chased it down. He earned that opportunity.
Well, he did. But Markstrom just threw it at his defenseman's skates. And Holmstrom made a good play. You got to give him credit. He made a good play. He won the
puck. Of course he did.
In the empty net. But that's a mistake that doesn't happen too often in the NHL. But
no, but listen, good players find themselves in the right place at the right time.
There's a little bet you got going on that's having you
choose. No, forget about the bet because I'm winning that in a landslide. Jack has no chance. Tiplikov, that bet might be void because I don't even know if Tiplikov is going to play the right amount of games. True. He needs to play 41 games. And at this rate, I don't think that's happening.
It might be elsewhere. But anyway. Yeah, some of these guys got to step up, and it's just been very meh. Like, you watch the certain line combinations too. It's just, you see them come down and they just don't feel like a threat for a second. So it just comes down to talent, really, right? Like, after Horvat and Barzal, the talent drops off.
Big time.
And I feel like the top teams in the league, they have guys go down, and yes, of course it hurts. But not to the extent it's hurt the Islanders so far.
Well,
and
the Islanders are not a top team in the league.
No, absolutely. But it's just where you don't expect it to fall off like this. Like we said, that one game against the Canucks was borderline unwatchable. They couldn't generate chances at all. They couldn't get anything going. It feels very perimeter as well. They can't make that final pass. They can't get in the mix, get that greasy goal. Lee, let's be honest, Lee's been unimpressive.
Very.
Well,
he has been the entire season.
He has been the entire. We did both pick him as the regression candidate, but I didn't think like this. I meant more numbers wise. Like, he's not going to put up the same numbers because he's a year older, and he had the Oates effect last year, and it's going to come back down to earth. He might be five less goals, five less assists. He's like two tiers down from last year right now. Would you agree on that?
I mean, I would. The numbers don't look terrible, but
what are the numbers? You have them in front of you.
Yeah, because he got hot a little bit. It's 23 points in 36 games, 9 goals, 14 assists. It's better than the eye test.
It is better than the eye test. And that's where we said when Palmieri, before he got injured, the eye test wasn't great, but the numbers were good, right? They're sort of reversing in a way. But it's just not been good enough. And again, you could, whatever the numbers are, I think
it's been a really, really nice December for Lee. He had 2 points against Colorado. He had a point against Tampa. He's getting real propped up by that Anaheim game. He had 2 goals, two assists.
So. That's right. But yeah, but you know what? You know, making plays, but even there was a couple chances tonight. Like, he gets the puck in the slot and he just does nothing with it. He's just that net front guy. And it just feels like he's never going to – like, he's not a guy that takes a real nice shot and scores a goal too often, right? He's more just a straight, greasy goal in front of the net, make things happen. So he's always going to depend on line mates a little bit. But he's another one. Horvat goes down, chipping a little extra here. Play a little better.
Yeah. All right. So what else? Anyone else we should criticize before getting into some positives?
Well, I'm waiting on you with Shabanov, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go next. I am just so unimpressed with this player right now.
When early season, I feel like me, you, and Jack were very excited about this player.
Looked great.
Are we at the point where that was just a little minor hot streak and we think this is who he is? Or
I mean, Jack brought it up. Like, the guy's not a power play merchant by any means, but four of his 10 points come on the power play. I do not think that he is a player for the NHL.
So
I really don't. No, I'm out. Here's how's this for hypothetical? If I want an undersized player who can play, let's call it gritty, and has probably got a higher ceiling, I'm just bring over Victor Eklund.
Well, he needs a little more time, but yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of like player prototype, you know, I understand he's a little bit taller, but like, okay, middle six forward, check, winger, check. A little bit on the smaller side, check. People praise him for his I'll call it the X dog per 60. His willingness to play defense and get dirty and be an absolute dog, which is what we heard about Shabanov and his willingness to play defense. Check. Yeah. Like, I'm unimpressed. I do not think he has the size to be an NHL player. Well, constantly forced to the perimeter. Guys are constantly jumping on him super quick. And listen, we see the flashes. We see the skill. I mean, has he even like gotten a shootout attempt this season?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. I feel like he might have got one at one point.
All right. But I mean, there's been plenty of opportunities.
The thing is with a player of Shabanov's size, right, if you're that small, you have to have one skill that is so over the top that it helps you balance the rest of it out.
Right. Like, I agree.
If you're 5'8", but you skate like if you skated like Matt Barzell or a Matthew Schaefer, you could get away with it because you're that good of a skater and no one could beat you. He's more quick than he is fast, if that makes sense. Like, he's not a north to south super fast skater. He's more quick and pretty good edge work. And
even still,
he gets like, hit. That's the issue. He's not fast enough to get, like, he's been getting hit lately. And I said this, I think it was last episode or the week prior. I feel like the scouting report is just out on him now, where it's just like, just body this guy. Just hit him one time and he's going to get a little rattled. And then he's not really coming to the middle anymore. And he's become a perimeter guy. And every time I watch him in the offensive zone, you just see that extra whack from a defenseman or that extra shove to kind of just be like, hey, like, we know what's going on here. Just stay on the side.
Because this is kind of my – the middle. And I agree. This is kind of like my overall problem with the Islanders' construction right now. And I think I was more upset about it than you guys were after the Florida game. But it was very evident against Vancouver, who's got size and speed, even though they kind of lack that – higher skill caliber player because EP40 was out. They had traded Hughes. Like, they can't compete against that type of team, because if you look at how they're constructed, like, Barzell's not the biggest guy. He's mostly perimeter player. He's not driving to the net. Shabanov, that kind of prototype. Like, they just don't, like, Duclair, yeah. Drouin, yeah. Palmieri's hurt. Like, right now, Bo Horvat, kind of. Anders Lee, like, not really, just because he's just plopping his fat dumper in front of the net most of the time and going for a tip or a rebound. He's not exactly the kind of crash through the middle and break up the D. You see Schaefer try to do it frequently. He hasn't converted on it yet, but it's refreshing that he uses his speed and his length and, like, just to try to bust through the defense. Right. But when the neutral zone gets crowded, the Islanders do not have that, I keep calling it sandpaper, to just get dirty and disgusting and beat these teams. And obviously that's something that you're going to need in the playoffs. It's something like these prototypical teams like Florida, like the Capitals, like Vancouver, we just saw against. So it's like, you know, what really is the ceiling of this team if those type of teams are going to give them trouble?
Well, what's funny too, because when we look back at the teams that were successful for the Islanders, we always felt like they needed more skill, right?
Right.
Now it's kind of gone the opposite way, where we're like, we have all these little skilled guys, Duclair, Drouin, Shabanov, and we don't have enough sandpaper all of a sudden. So it's sort of reversed in that regard. But to the same point, I think with this team and how it's constructed and Matthew Darche setting it up, it is an eval year, right? Like, this isn't his final team. This isn't a team made up of his draft picks. It was his first draft this past year. His philosophy seemed to be to go after players that are hard to play against, right? You had Schaefer, who's the gem of the draft, had to be the pick, no doubter. No brainer, no regrets. He's the guy. Then you pick Eklund, who's small, but as you said, sandpaper, hard forechecker, loved for his effort. Then you have a big guy in Aitchison who throws the body, offensive upside. Maybe he's got to work on the defense. Your next pick, Prokhorov, who, if he works out, he's gonna be a pain in the ass to play against. Hopeful he could be a top level bottom sixer for us, and then so on and so forth. So the philosophy is there. It's just going to take a couple years for this to be in Darsh's image, if that makes sense, because he couldn't, there wasn't enough cap room and enough people that you could truly move out for him to make it his team. It's kind of Lou's team with Darsh's little touches here and there, like Drouin, Heinemann, a couple other guys, but you got to give him some time, and I think it will come. But this is, like, when you look at the roster, it is truly an evaluation roster. We'll see what happens. Hopefully we make the playoffs. It's not a guarantee, but in this Eastern Conference, seems like there's a chance, right?
Speaking of evaluation, I love what I've been seeing from Marshall Warren.
I like his game too. And we said on the last pod, if he becomes a bottom pair defenseman, huge W.
I think, like, obviously, I think everyone has seen enough of Adam Boqvist. I think Marshall Warren is that guy. I think, like, he is a great 70, someone that can fill in as a 60. Overall, I really like what I saw. He's got a willingness to get pucks to the net, not afraid to throw the body, get a little bit dirty. And, you know, obviously the Long Island narrative, but we'll shelve that for now. I thought he played a great game against the Devils. We know that Isaiah George is a little bit banged up. I think you dropped some news about that in Discord. Not going to give much more than that, but I hope Marshall Warren is here to stay.
Yeah,
he's played better than Boqvist. He played better than Travis Mitchell. They don't have any better options that are at least healthy right now. I'd give the kid a shot.
Yeah, and again, you, me, and Jack aren't the ones that are watching every Bridgeport game. But when we talk
– no, that's Joey.
Yeah, when we talk – shout out Joey, shout out Kenny, was on their pod yesterday. Great guys. But when you talk to these guys like Kenny and Joey and a couple other people that watch the Bridgeport games, they say flat out, like, Warren's the one who deserves this call. And I think going into the season, that would have surprised a lot of people. I think everyone would have been thinking –
surprised George. Me too.
Myself included. Everyone was thinking George, right? Because George had his moments. George came up last year, looked good. Then it kind of came back down to earth, went back down, needed more seasoning. We were kind of expecting him to be the guy this season. But didn't happen right away. A little banged up. Had the one injury. I don't know how long ago that occurred, but a few weeks back now. Came back from that one. I think played a couple games. Got a little banged up again. But, yeah, it's just interesting because if Warren could be this guy, it's just one hole filled, right? It's a spot where you're not going to have to go into the offseason and say, who's going to be that guy that plays that bottom pair? Who's going to be the guy that plays the 7th D when we – I think Tony D's gone after this season, to be honest. I thought he was pretty bad tonight. And to be honest, most of the season, the thing with Tony, he has those moments where he could flash offensive capability. And then there's these other moments where it's just like an awful mistake goes back the other way for a breakaway.
Yeah.
We had that moment tonight where I don't remember exactly how it went down, but it ended in Brown going for a breakaway for the Devils. Riddick made a nice save, but there's just too many moments like that. I think Tony, thank you, but after this year, it's pretty much it. Served your purpose, came back to the league. Hope you get another contract somewhere else, but it's just – the type of thing, again, in Darsh's image, I think we're going to have to move on from players like that, the one-year experiment, and find pieces that are for the long term on this roster, right? Like, that's the goal. Like, if Warren could even just be, the, as you said, sixth guy or the seventh guy we could rely on in a pinch, great. It's perfect. Take that every day of the week.
Yep. Agreed. All right. Anything else positive you want to touch on? I mean, Riddick.
Riddick, Jem. We didn't touch on the Sorokin thing at all. He was out tonight for, they called it a lingering injury, I believe.
Yeah.
Don't think it's too serious. Hopefully back. Hopefully by the time we're back from Christmas break, we'll see both big
him,
guys.
Him and Horvat, yeah.
Him and Horvat. I think if it's not right away, it'll be close soon after. So both of those guys back is obviously huge. Riddick's been great, honestly. Way better than I expected going into the season. So happy for him. Pulak, too. Pulak's been really solid. Got to give him his credit. I think Pulak's one of those guys, when you don't notice him, you just know he's playing well. That's kind of how it's been. Schaefer, obviously, he had a game or two where he wasn't great, but still has those moments. I'm not worried about Schaefer at all. Yeah. I think we would pretty much went through everyone at this point, but some good, some bad, some ugly, but Sounders hockey.
Exactly. Hockey. Yeah. All right. Next up, what do we got?
Do we think the Islanders can compete in this Eastern Conference for the rest of the season? Will they be in a playoff spot? Are they going to stay in the wild card? Are they going to get into the top three of the Metro? How are you feeling on that?
Dude, I don't know. Every week is like a different feeling. Like if they get Horvat back and Sorokin back, I mean, who knows? You know, like the Devils don't scare me. The Rangers don't scare me. The Penguins absolutely don't scare me. The Blue Jackets, like I kind of
fell off a cliff, by the way.
Bro, they lost like six in a row. Like, they got demolished by Toronto today. The Blue Jackets are kind of delulu. They think that because they're still only now 8 points out, I don't know if they're playing tonight or what the result of that game is going to be, but that they have a shot at making the playoffs. But like it's Hurricanes, Capitals, Islanders, like are the Flyers legit? I don't know.
Flyers, I'd kind of put in the same boat as us, where it's kind of hard to tell, but they have talent on that roster, guys coming up. They play hard, play for their coach. Pittsburgh, I think, is done. Like Pittsburgh, I
Toast.
Think, had their little run, had their fun. A couple young guys, 18, 19-year-olds coming into the lineup, playing well.
I'm curious what they do. Like Malkin's hurt.
That's a killer.
Crosby's got one more year left on his deal. Letang's got two more after this. Where do you go?
Do you approach them? Is it time to – I mean,
we know Dubas doesn't care.
This sounds wrong from an Islander fan, but I want Sid to stay. Like, I just want him to stay. I just want him to stay with the Penguins.
Kind of just like a purity thing. Like, I can't even picture him in another jersey.
That's what I'm saying. And now we have this crazy good number one pick, and the dream is, right, he stays here his whole career, wins, does this, does that. So you kind of have – I mean, you're hopeful he's one third of what Sid has done over there, but you just, I don't know. There's something about it, like Ovechkin, Crosby. I guess because they're from my childhood, too. I'm like, nah, you can't have Crosby in another
right.
year. It's meant to be a Penguin. Even people aren't talking enough about how impressive it is that he passed Mario for.
It's insane.
That's nuts. And it's not like Mario played anywhere else where, he put up 300 more points. He's not like a
Trotty. The fact that two guys from that draft year are just shattering records in 2025.
It's insane.
Nuts. I mean, I guess who's technically 24.
Sid and who?
Ovi.
Well, technically different draft years, but yeah.
Yeah. Should we do Isles talk?
Talking Isles. I think it's time.
All right. Just bear with me. This is all right. Let's see how this goes. Ready?
Gang, gang.
Oh, come on, shake that monkey. Put dick in your life if you're lonely. Bring your friend, cause I know that you want me. Give it to her till the morning. Love when you do that step. Pretty face, small way, with your feet in the air. Like, love when they stop and sell. All the ugly bitches looking.
That I wasn't expecting.
Gotta be the first ever Johnny Boychuk edit.
For those of you that don't watch on YouTube, please, if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or whatever else, just come find this part of the pod on YouTube.
We'll be 38 minutes in.
It's worth it. I can't believe it just happened.
I kind of want to watch it again, but I'll spare the
We'll watch it again post pod. We'll spare the
people. Yeah. All right. Should we do some questions?
We can do questions. Let me pull them up. All right. Ready? Kind of covered this, but first question is from Robert. Where do you see Max Shabanov fitting long-term with this group? I know we're only 25 or so games into his NHL career, but I'm on the fence of him being a top six guy or not. I think we got to give it – I mean, it's an evaluation season, right? You give him the whole year, right? See where he's at the end. Give him the whole season, and we'll see where we're at. We knew – when we signed him, it was low risk, high reward.
Yeah, right.
See what you got? Next is Barry. More of a general question for Ethan and Rocco. How did you both start your Islanders Insiders career? Also, how have you expanded your connection over the years? Obviously, you don't have to go into specifics regarding names and anyone's specific job titles. Ethan?
It's a great, great question.
Without titles and names, it's hard to kind of...
No, that's not even the hard part. It's hard to kind of dive really deep into it without sounding like a conceited dickhead. I think the most simple way to put it is networking.
100% networking.
And not in the traditional sense, right? So like I'm 32. My dad was an Islander season ticket holder his entire life. What was that? What was that look?
I said,
I'm 32. Yeah, I'm 32, and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you.
I know.
Anyway, been going to Islanders games my entire life. I have been on Twitter. I want to make sure I get the date right. I want to say since 2009, where I had a flip phone. And back in the day, this is for all the, yeah, joined April 2009. For those who don't know, back in the day, I had a flip phone. I don't even, like, I guess smartphones were around then, but not really advanced. I don't even know if there was a Twitter app. There was definitely Twitter desktop. You could, like, tweet via text message. Like, there was kind of, like a short code or a number, like associated with whatever. You could like get tweets to your phone through like a text message. You could like early tweet a text message. Like this is early. So like I've been on Twitter since 2009. Over the years, you make friends with people. You know, we all learned back in the day, Rocco can attest because he's older than I am. You know, the whole big thing, the internet was kind of new and social media was kind of new. And we grew up in the MySpace era and it was like, don't go in chat rooms, stranger danger, this, that, and the other thing. And then it kind of evolves where there's more transparency. And you actually make, like Rocco, lifelong friends through social media. And, you know, meet people out at bars. And I've been doing podcasting forever. And just like over time, you collect these people. And, you know, someone maybe slides into your DMs. You meet someone. They tell you something. And you're just like, oh, okay, this person's connected. And just over time, like you collect all these different people who know people or – you connect the people. And when things happen, you got like a whole laundry list of people that you could text or that text you and give you the necessary information.
Yeah. For me, it's a little different because obviously my Twitter page came about much later than yours, only like 3-4 years ago, I guess. But right. Yeah, it's just meeting people and it starts meeting people in person. Ethan and I, as we said, we're old. So we're more accustomed to meeting people in person. I know that's odd for some people. But one of my connections actually came through the restaurant, funny enough. Just
there you go.
Popping in, talking hockey, not going to say what he does, who he works for or whatnot. But that's how one of them started. I had another buddy from where I went out to school, and he got a certain job that helped key me into certain things. And so on and so forth, right? You just start networking. You take what you know, share it with someone who might know something else, and it snowballs into – eventually asking Frank the Tank to come on the pod.
So, yeah,
it could happen fast. And honestly,
oh, by the way, I kind of want to tease this because you're talking about a recent Patreon guest that we had on. We just had Frank the Tank, who mere days after podcasting with us is working out with Arnold Schwarzenegger out in California. Two very exciting potential Patreon guests, Rocco, I was telling you about today. Likely coming in January. And I would say one of them, the one who I was talking to, Rocco, is like a grail guest for me. Like
that would be a great guest. And I think without spoiling it, I think many people who follow us will greatly appreciate this
guest. TV show star.
Yes.
In my eyes.
They will know him. Probably, I would say 80-85% of our Discord would be very excited about this.
Yeah.
And there's a couple that, you know, wouldn't know or whatever else, but it's very exciting. So next question from Dan Schaefer. What's the best Islanders-related holiday gift you've ever received? I have a good one. You could go ahead, but I have a good one. I actually have – one's a birthday one from when I was young, so I have two good ones. But do you have one
that – Does it have to be specifically birthday?
No, no, no. He said holiday. So I think holiday. Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever big holiday you celebrate.
So I guess two. So right above me, I'm not going to turn my computer on right now, but I basically have you could call it a seating chart of Nassau Coliseum. So it's just basically just overhead view of Nassau Coliseum with like the seats. Like if you were to go on StubHub or Ticketmaster, like you're picking out a seat, basically black and white, Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. It's framed. I love it. You know, with folks like us grew up in the barn and have fond memories. I would say the other one is kind of more sentimental. Kind of a funny story, Rocco, especially because you knew my dad. So growing up, I played hockey, and there was – like we would play knee hockey in the basement. You know, boys will be boys, and I got a little rowdy. So I had – one of my mini sticks was a fisherman, like white stick with the fisherman stuff all over it. I loved that thing. And, you know, we're like checking each other, whatever, and I just fucking slashed my dad, like hard. Like I know, like in hindsight, like that hurt. He got so pissed. He grabbed the stick and snapped it on the ground and obviously felt really bad about it. And so the infamous fisherman jersey that I frequently wear to games was a holiday gift that year. Like no name on the back, OG, like has the fight straps in it. Like that's the jersey.
All right. That's a good one. So I have one of mine is this is probably late 90s. I know it was late 90s because my parents got me, and this is how my parents have been divorced since I was like 8, 9 years old. And it's so far back in the day that my parents were still married.
Look at us. Look at us, Rocco. We're trauma dumping on the podcast.
I know. We're trauma dumping. I'm sorry.
Dead parents, divorced parents.
So I just remember being in the car. It's my birthday. I guess I fell asleep in the car, wake up. Where am I? Nassau Coliseum.
There you go.
What's going on? My parents go, Islanders Rangers tonight. Happen to be on your birthday. We're going. Day of my birthday, we go. Islanders versus Rangers. Wayne Gretzky was on the Rangers back then. I don't remember who else they had. We had Palfy. That was my favorite player back in the day. Go to the game. Rangers end up winning in overtime. And you know the like what the little game booklets? What's the proper term? The game booklets they used to give out at like every game to like every
They're like playbills but for hockey.
In my little 8, 9 year old face, rip them up. They rip them up and throw it in the air like confetti.
Yeah.
Confetti raining down on little Rocco. Hated the Rangers ever since. So that's story number one.
We're different. Some kids, they get in the car not knowing where they're going. They get to go to the airport not knowing where they're going, and their parents are taking them to Disney. Not us. We're going to Nassau Coliseum.
Uniondale, baby.
Yeah, for his bestest points.
Second one's
a little cool mesothelioma.
So my buddy, who I'm still close with, my buddy Nico, catch me at Islander games with him every now and then. His dad, I'm not going to say where he works. I don't want to dox him. But his dad has like a ticket hookup. So years ago, this is still at Barclays. He calls me the day before a playoff game against Florida and says, I don't know where we're going to be sitting, but I have an extra ticket. And if you commit to coming with me, you have the ticket. I go, Nico, of course, the playoff game. I'm in. Coming with you. Take the train. Show up to the game. Go to will call. Nico opens up the envelope and goes, oh, my God. What, Nick? Tickets on the glass. We're on the glass during.
Oh, is that the picture?
So long story short, it ends up being the playoff game in which Bleep scores the bleeping goal that sends us past the first round for the first time.
Thank you for saving me the editor.
I don't know how long. And it so happens that Nico and I are both jumping in the background. So you got a great picture. It was in Newsday. It was on NHL.com. So my sister took the picture, somehow contacted multiple people, and I have the autograph of Bleep, Boychuk, Oso, a bunch of autographs all over that picture, and one of the best gifts I've ever gotten, despite him eventually leaving town. But really cool gift. I thought that that was like, when I got that, I was stunned. Discuss any more of Ethan or my trauma.
We lost you for a second there, but we're good.
Okay. Dan the Man, what movie is Ethan seeing on Christmas?
What movie? So I celebrate I celebrate Christmas. We have a Christmas tree. However, the movie is a good question. I don't know if there's anything scheduled for Christmas. We'll be at my in-laws. But I will say, as a plug pusher, loyal cable subscriber, since December 1st, unless the New York Islanders are playing, the TV has been on Freeform. I have seen Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2 probably 50 times, Santa Claus 1 and Santa Claus 2 50 times, and I plan on that continuing until Freeform changes their programming.
Good answer. And I just want to say this. It is a shame that the mystique of going to the movie theater is going by the wayside. That was always one of my favorite things in my childhood. Yeah. No one goes, I haven't gone to the movie theater in I don't know how long. It's just not a thing anymore.
It's a decade for me.
What's that?
At least a decade for me, I think.
Yeah, I don't even remember the last one I saw in the theater.
Yeah.
Moving on. Ooh, the Bry Man. Three-part question for Ethan.
Oh, good Lord.
In the holiday spirit. He only did one last week, so he's making up for it.
That's true. I did actually call him out on that and say he needed a three-parter this week. So, yep.
Holiday spirit. Number one. When Horvat comes back, do we put him with Barzy? Question. That's it. Do you put him with Barzy? I think I do.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes, too.
I like what I've seen from Richie.
Yeah, I think you got to keep Richie. The goal, again, playoffs or no playoffs, the goal is evaluation season.
Yep.
I want Richie at center. I think Richie's development at center is more important. And as good of a player as Barzal is, you could put him back and forth because he can play both. He's proven he can play both. Richie, I think you need to keep at center. Number two. Why does Wah insist on putting Homie with Barzy? He needs to be with JGP. Am I crazy here? No. I think we both agree with him, right? I don't want Homie with Barzal anymore. I think
I don't either. But given Pageau's recent play, I think I'd rather Holmstrom with Barzal now.
Okay.
It's like, you know, You want to drown or burn alive? Like there's no good answer here.
There you go. Number three, who are we watching at the World Juniors? Can obviously name our prospects, but any others who are draft eligible of note?
That's a question for you.
Yeah. Let me think. Draft eligible. Obviously, there's a top guy, Stenberg on Sweden, McKenna on Canada, Verhoeven on Canada. I really like Chase Reed on the U.S. Trying to think who else. Viggo Bjork, he's a smaller guy, but he plays a really solid two-way game. He'll be on Sweden. He'll be playing with Eklund along with Stenberg. He'll be fun to watch. Maybe the most underrated of like the first round group, I'd say, is Thomas Krenko on Slovakia. Really big fan of him. Look out for him.
Okay.
Not a bot. What do you want the New York Islanders to get for Christmas? Scoring, maybe?
Yeah.
Just put pucks in the net.
Maybe some stem cells for Ilya and Bo.
Maybe Varley, too. Put him in the picture. Yeah, maybe. Steve, 1473. Thoughts as of right now. Do the Islanders make the playoffs or miss?
Make.
It's so tough. Right now.
I mean, you asked me after the Vancouver game. They miss. You asked me after the Devils game. They make.
Yeah, I know. It's just so tough. I'm going to say make. Wild card, though. I don't think he's stiff in the top three of the Metro. I'll say wild card. Dan the Man, what are your gifts to the following players? We're not doing gifts today.
Sorry, Dan.
Sorry, Dan.
By the way, if you're listening and you're not in the Discord and you're wondering how people are asking us these questions, it's because they're in the Discord. So sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/Isles House.
Yes. Kevin, do you think Schaefer could blow? Skip. Do you think Schaefer could blow a bubble big enough to carry Siplikov across the Sound to Bridgeport? No, he can't do all things.
It's a very very SpongeBob coded question, the dirty bubble.
Yeah. Stephen B. 9. Whose wife's Skip? I'm gonna have to
read. We're gonna have to start screening these questions.
Yeah. I like to do them live. T. Isaac, new in the Discord.
He is welcome. Yes.
Thank you for joining. Welcome. What's the best holiday gift Islanders holiday gift you ever gotten? We kind of discussed that. Do you have anything else to add to those?
I will say
I'm very. I don't have.
Like, I'm sure I got. I'm sure I got jerseys. You know.
What about? Have you gotten your kids anything yet, Islanders related? Have you gotten there?
No. So, my 3-year-old is a very girly girl. Mm-hmm. Very girly girl. You know, I was like, hey, do you want to turn on the Islanders pregame? She goes, no, I want to watch Tinkerbell. Okay. So that's kind of where we're at. You know, Rocco, you and I have tossed the idea around of maybe taking our girls to their first game, maybe in the spring.
And then we both had another girl. So that kind of,
right. So the answer is no. However, each child of mine has had like the blue and gray Islanders bear suit.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. She watched the video of the Martin kids going, go Schaefer, go. So now every time she hears about the Islanders, she just yells, go Schaefer, go.
Yeah, my little one's way too little to know anything. My older one, who's about 18 months, she just, anytime there's a sport on the TV, she just claps and points. So she does that to make dad happy, which is nice. But going to get them both Schaefer shirt soon.
Yeah.
The shirts are just so much easier on the young kids. Jerseys are too much. They're heavy. Nice shirts.
More expensive. Yes, jerseys.
Got them. Would you be okay with the Islanders being buyers if a team like Tampa, or I'm sorry, if a team like Toronto blew it up and tried to get a couple picks and prospects for guys like Matthews, Nylander, or Nice? Or perhaps even giving a call to Buffalo for Tage?
Buffalo's hot. Yarmo, Bergevin, the co-GMs, they're in charge. I don't see them doing anything drastic on that front. Toronto, those moves feel like off-season moves, not mid-season moves. You know, I would need to think about it. Like, you know, Toronto's got some guys I would absolutely love, but it's kind of like alongside the Tage conversation where, like, yes, do the Islanders probably have the assets to go out and get a guy like that? Yes, but it leaves them totally barren, and I don't think that that is what the GM is going for right now.
Yeah, and as we discussed earlier in the pod, like there's no, unless some of those guys get made available, I don't think there's anyone that's going to be on this market that would be worth the Islanders buying. If in a dream scenario, Nylander or Matthews or even Nye.
I mean, that's the guy. That's like the guy.
But, I mean, you could go for it, buyer beware, but you see what it costs and try to go for it. But it just doesn't feel like the time for me. Like right now, feels like more of a time, whether you trade Peugeot and Lee, keep them, whatever you decide to do, it feels like a stack asset time. It doesn't feel like put all your chips in just yet. Mustachio. When will this coaching staff figure out that Simon Holmstrom and Matthew Barzal should only be on the ice at the same time during warmups and post-game celebrations and never during the game? Hopefully soon.
When they get more scoring talent.
Also fair. And I think once Horvat's back, they're going to – that's not going to be the thing anymore. New Mike. Where's the divide between winning with some losing and, quote-unquote, losing? Feels like after a few losses, the hysteria is enacted almost immediately with no regard to the hashtag big picture.
Yeah, I mean, when you start as hot as the Islanders did and then you put up a bunch of stinkers, we're emotional. It's going to
– we're not – you know what it is? It's we're not in a spot to know which way we should be going because the team has a decent amount of talent. And you look at the teams that are the bottom feeders and they're just so bad on paper.
Terrible.
That you know the Islanders are better than that. But then you look at the teams like Florida when they're healthy, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Colorado, Dallas, and they're just not even close to that yet. So I think it's just the roster that causes this roller coaster of emotions. And as far as the big picture side, that's up to Darsh, right? We're going to see if it's big picture or he actually believes in some or most of this group.
Yeah.
Josh Elkin, how many Islanders players make an Olympic roster? You don't trade an Olympian like Emil Heinemann.
Heinemann makes it.
Heinemann, Sweden. I'm trying to think of.
It's pretty much it, I think. Like no, Schaefer, Canada.
Well, Rittich could. What is he, Czech?
Yeah, he could make. Be like the third goalie.
We have some sleepers. Like he could make. He can make his team. Heinemann could make it. I don't think Holmstrom could make it. I think Sweden's good enough that Holmstrom would be on the outs.
Yeah.
Leif could make it. Horvat could make it. According to Data Dom, maybe we'll have Pelech make it for
Team Canada.
We don't have any Americans that would make it. I'm trying to think. Do we have anyone else that would be kind of a sleeper for another squad?
No.
We don't have like the Franzes anymore. We're like, oh, yeah, he could go play for Denmark.
Yeah.
So Heinemann, I think, is in. I'm going to say one of Schaefer or Horvat make it. That's two. So two or three, right? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Two or three?
Two or three.
We got Mark D and L.I. Isles Mets 94 initially worried about Richie. We had who plays 3C with Horvat and Richie out, and then Isles Mets said, how do you donate a wrist? Shortly after, Mark D goes, Richie is back, disregard. So dodged the bullet there. When that first happened, it looked bad.
Bad. When
the way he went down and ran into the locker room, I was nervous. I was upset, but we're fine.
Here's a question. Did Bo Horvat set a bad precedent?
What are you talking about?
Bo Horvat, only missing a few games, immediately ran to the locker room to get checked out. Didn't stay on the bench. Straight down the tunnel. Cal Ritchie came back the next period. Do we think Cal Ritchie's Bo Horvat's a bad influence?
No. Not a good
question. Some people are saying.
They say there's no stupid questions. They were wrong. But it was a legacy.
Not me. Some people are asking, not me. Just what, you know, he's taking a cue from Bo Horvat. Bo Horvat immediately went to go get checked out. I'm just gonna go right down the tunnel. I'm not gonna try
LBI,
to guy it out.
OBI versus UBI. Know the difference.
Okay.
Just
saying, maybe he should have stayed on the bench.
All right. Anyway, Ryan 014.
Got a question as toughness.
How can the Isles justify not trading away a 35-year-old Lee and a 33-year-old JGP? I love both of them, but neither of them are core players. Re-signing them is too much of a commitment to win right now, and letting them walk for nothing is also not great. Just feels like they have to move both, even if they are in a playoff spot. As Rocco mentioned, this will be Darsh's first real test, some tough decisions to make. I mean, I think we both agree. We discussed it last week. We would sort of, hypothetically at least, I wouldn't really do it with Lee. I would just trade Lee. But hypothetically, I think you approach both players, put a deal on the table, tell them you either have to sacrifice one of term or AAV. If that doesn't work for you and you don't want to give a hometown discount, we have to move you. That's how I think we both agree, and I think Jack agreed with us as well on the previous episode.
That's
how we would handle it. That's the play. And if that's the case and it's a Brock Nelson sort of situation where we offered them and they decided a different location was better for them, that's fine, but we got to get the best assets for you. And I think that's how they should handle it. But again, we'll see on Darsh. Jack, not our Jack Islesden, our other buddy Jack on Discord. If Holmstrom continues to have a mediocre season, do you think he should be on the trading block?
Yeah.
Yes, but I think
not, maybe not like an active shop, but like.
Yeah, like a Beauvillier, if he needs to be in the deal to get it done, you could have that sort of thing. But I don't see Holmstrom moving in season. I could see Holmstrom being part of an off-season deal to get it to get it done, get it over the top.
I don't see
Holmstrom moving in season because we need him, to be quite honest. Like if you sell Holmstrom and Pageau and Lee, who's left playing at that point?
Yeah.
Justice 8393. Also the winner of the Emil Heinemann trick. Congratulations.
There we go.
How many goals is Adam Pelech on pace for? Ethan, calculator.
Oh, boy. All right. What is he's two in how many games?
know.
What game was tonight?
30. I don't know how many games he's played. Let me check.
I believe tonight was 36. Game 37.
Oh, tonight was 37, yeah.
He's on pace for 4.43 goals.
More than the zero he was on pace for a couple weeks ago.
Yes, very impressive.
I think this will be the last question. Which defenseman was Ethan Moore wrong about? And he has two – Data Dom, I'm sorry. Data Dom, which defenseman was Ethan Moore wrong about? He has two screenshots. One is Ethan GSN. I cannot do this with Pelic anymore. This has to be it. The other one is Ethan GSN. It's time to admit my wrongs. I was wrong about Alex Romanov and Noah Dobson. I thought Noah Dobson was really bad. Turns out he is atrocious and holding back Alex Romanov from being Norris caliber.
Well, that second tweet, you know, Data Dom, I know sometimes numbers guys are not really great with the nuance and joke tweets. So very obviously the answer to the question is Adam Pelic.
All right. And that was the last question.
Great. Okay, let's wrap it up. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast. Check out the Patreon. Check out the store. Check out Rust and Gold. And we'll talk to you guys after the holidays. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around. Io's house, in the middle of our street. Io's house.